When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, everybody? It's April 9th, 2024. WrestleMania weekend is over. Got through Stand and Deliver. We got through Hall of Fame. We got through WrestleMania Night 1, Night 2, Raw after Mania. And tonight, NXT back in Florida. And you could tell it was a busy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone running on fumes. But they put on a show tonight. And me, Glenn Rubenstein. With Flobo Boyce. We're going to cover it tonight. Issa is in a period of mourning following the Tribal Chief's loss. Cody Rhodes on Sunday night, and we ask that you please respect her privacy in this trying time.
I mean, you can, or you can only tease her and be like, ha, 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 your Tribal Chief fell. You saw it? He couldn't get up. He was all knocked out. Like, oh, man, so many crossroads. 1, 2, 3. It was great.
That's cold.
It is cold.
Yeah. But... how are you feeling? How's what's this, day three of the Cody Rhodes era? Oh yeah,
you know what it is. I feel like that's definitely the story that had to have been done. I say if Cody did not come out of Mania the champion, we would have serious questions about believing him ever again. But I think the whole world is seeing this in various stages of either disbelief, shock, or excitedness. Is what's next? Who's going to be the first challenge for Cody, and what does he want? I think it's an exciting time. It takes me back to the end of WrestleMania 15, you know, when Stone Cold had the Chad title. It was like, well, he's a champ. What's next?
It was 25 years ago.
Ouch.
Yeah, crazy. But here's the crazy part. 25 years ago was 1999. How weird is that?
That's before Y2K, man.
And how weird is it, this 25 years since the year 1999, but like 43 years since the song 1999.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's
Yeah.
Time is immortal, man. It doesn't stop.
Yeah. And if Dazed and Confused came out today, it would take place in the year 2004.
Trippy. Also a dark time I don't remember very well, the mid-2000s.
Yes. The mid-2000s, it all kind of blends together. You know, post-millennium, it's all the same to me. And I'm like, what? That was just a couple years ago. Anyhow, J.R. Smith with the first super chat of the night. And good evening, guys. Hope you both are well. I'm just tired, man. But NXT tonight was good. Not a lot happened, but it was good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. That's right, Vic. It was me. Yeah.
Do you think Booker is 50% AI at this point?
Oh, dude, it totally is. It's just his own sounding board. He's like, I don't know, response number 7.
I mean, he's going with it. So, hey, before we get into things, and thank you, Ricky, Baby Ice, Danny, Laura, J.R. Smith, Daniel Berry, Shout out to Marie. I know she hasn't been feeling well. She had a doctor's appointment today. It was not as bad as it could have been. Glad to hear it. But before we get into NXT, what's going on in the news, Flobo?
Oh, man. Some things are just kind of awkward, to say the least. Looks like Hall of Famer Mick Foley is not going to have his last match after all. After teasing for months and getting ready, it seemed that he wasn't in ring shape, suffering a concussion from the events. And so, even though we saw a string of final matches, like with Ric Flair and with Sting, we're not going to get the same thing from Mrs. Foley's baby boy.
I mean, it's a miracle he's in as good of health as he is, considering what he's put his body through in that wrestling ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of the deal, right? It's kind of like, I could show the world I could still go at 60, but the brain was like, nah.
And then somebody showed him the movie The Wrestler, finally. And he was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get why I need to stop.
It's really true, man. Like I know, if anyone remembers my predecessor, Alfred Conowa, we were on similar comedy shows in LA, and it really is like that addiction, man. You go out and do your thing and the crowd loves you, and you're at home when you can't pay the bills, or if you can't pay the bills, you go, I miss making kids happy. I miss doing this. One more show, one more match. And we're small time compared to someone as big as Mick Foley. So I get it, but I don't want to pay for that. I'm fine.
I feel like with podcasting, I've got so much going on most days. And I think about how I end my day with the to-do list that I have to stay up late at night to do. But I like hanging out. I like hanging out with you. I like hanging out with Issa. I like hanging out with the crowd. It's fun. Absolutely. Fun to be amongst the people.
Even getting trolled.
What else is in the news? What else is going on?
Well, how about this? As a reveal that NXT Stands and Deliver this past Saturday, well, morning for me on the West Coast. Yikes. I think I'm super early for that show. Julia is official. Signed with the E, hanging out with Triple H and the good folks at Stanford, being shown in the crowd. I'm sure if you saw Stand and Deliver, even the viral clip that went after the show, that she was almost surprised at the level of the reception she got there as being seen out in the crowd. Julia is now part of the E.
It was like the John Travolta meme. It was just but so part of it, and just in fairness to her, I just want to be clear, the story has come out since that she was rushed out there. They didn't really tell her what was going on. It was the first time they'd done the free agent in the front row bit. It all happened very haphazardly. So it's not on her. It was just one of those live TV moments, you know?
I mean, Dragon Lee did it well. He was like ready to go. He was like through the fist. He was like, you know, like, I don't know. I like Julia. I think it's definitely going to fit in the NXT mold. The question becomes, with this new era, and I have to say that because they said it like a dozen times this weekend, where does Julia fit? I felt like a lot of wrestling fans kind of figured out what Vince McMahon liked. We're still trying to figure out what's a Triple H guy or gal as far as his next chapter of the E.
So I'm so bummed there was no media scrum, because last Tuesday on this podcast, Flobo, I said it. I had a question ready to go for HBK saying, with the depth of the NXT women's roster, might we soon get an NXT North American women's title?
Wow.
And lo and behold, Saturday, they announced that.
Did you call the title name to you? Because I thought it was
I said specifically a women's version of the NXT North American title. It's eerie. It's odd.
Yeah.
We've said before they listen to this podcast. I'm taking all the credit for it.
Glenn Sodomus. I get it.
Yes. But I think the reason they're doing that, part of the reason, I mean, it is overdue, but part of the prompt is, I think Julia is about to have an Asuka-like run as NXT Women's Champ, and we have to have a title that's more competitive. We can't have another Asuka, Shayna, Mandy situation where that title's on lock, because that's the problem with developmental. You could do that on the main roster. You cannot. I think it's very limiting to lock down a title for a year on the developmental brand.
Absolutely. A lot of people need that title to be made. So I get it. And I want to make sure that, and I guess I don't want to be seen as a hypocrite, right? Sure. But if you want to give me a secondary division, I'm looking at AEW when I say this, at least tell me what that means and the kind of caliber of people that would be in that division. It doesn't have to be a hard and fast rule, like the certain rule, like the Heritage Cup, but I don't want to be like Jade Cargill with a TBS title going, well, what does the TBS title mean if on Wednesday it's this other title, which means more, is over there? So if they can tell me what that means, like I always describe the North American title now as a character belt, whereas the opposite of the IC title, whereas like the NXT championship is a workhorse and the North American title is the character that pops out, like tell your friends about the water cooler thing. Give me something similar with the ladies.
Do you remember who the first NXT North American championship was? the first champion?
Was it Dream?
No. And I'd forgotten. I was going to guess Ricochet, and no, it was Adam Cole.
Baby.
Yes. Takeover New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good trivia question.
Yeah. I would have guessed, I would have bet money that it was Ricochet.
He was the most like notable one for a long time, but those are not usually the first, like the first UK champion. No one remembers it was Tyler Bate. It was just, yeah.
But I think it's an exciting development. I think Julia is going to do great in NXT. The problem with the main roster, it's, unless they're going to drastically change the number of non-title storylines for the women that they feature on the main roster, it is lean the opportunities right now.
It absolutely is. And it's kind of weird because we have the women's tag team titles on the main roster, but they're not really being used on both brands. And NXT doesn't have that. We didn't even have a women's Dusty Cup this year. So yeah. I do think there is a bit of flux with the women's division. Something is coming. I can't call what that is, though.
I don't know. Why, have you heard anything?
No, not at all. I am not Glenn Sardamus. I don't make predictions.
I just pull stuff out of thin air. Like, I don't have sources. You know what I get? Leo Rush once wanted me to like retweet like a new track he dropped. Whoa. I was like, thanks, Leo. Appreciate Flexing. The heads up on that.
Leo doesn't call me at all.
Or I get sometimes a superstar will DM me to laugh at something I said. They're like, I can't laugh at this publicly, but that's funny.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's nice.
I can't laugh at this publicly. It's such a response. Yeah. My client cannot laugh at this publicly.
Garrett Kemp, $2. Have you watched NXT Next Gen? I have not. I really want to see this. It's on the Roku channel. I have a Roku TV, but it's not hooked up. But I got to watch this. I love stuff like this.
I haven't seen it, but I didn't see the ads and promos and all that. But I haven't seen
it. Yeah, it looks good. Mm-hmm. Looks exactly like something I would enjoy. What else is going on in the news?
Well, there's not much going on as far as what our producers still to talk about, but it is kind of the biggest week that we had in professional wrestling. So many satellite events. Question for you there, Glenn. I know that you were not in Philadelphia, or were you? Were you?
No.
Did you check out any other events via like iPay-per-view or streaming this weekend in addition to WrestleMania?
I mean, like you, I had to wake up at 8:30 in the morning to watch NXT Stand and Deliver. And then I took a nap and then I watched Mania Night 1.
Oh man.
And then I was exhausted all Sunday. Mania Night 2. Raw last. I'm just drained.
Do you have friends over? Or are you like covering like a journalist, like getting up, no pad and paper? Like, what was your what
no
was
pad
like?
And paper? Come on, please. I've been doing this 8 years.
I don't know.
All up here. No,
it's our first main together, man. It's a
simple question. No, I watch it with my wife, and occasionally we'll say something insightful or something funny or something. I was like, well, that's funny, but I can't repeat that on the air. Or like we'll sit there and compare a wrestler to one of our cats.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like the cats really factor into it a lot.
I'm so glad I asked. Like I've learned new insights to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I you know what I feel like? I feel like my couch is where I workshop what I'm going to say on the podcast. Sometimes.
Same here.
Yeah,
actually, I say it out loud. I feel sorry for my neighbors. They might think I'm going crazy.
And then other times where I'm like that. Sometimes, do you ever get to the point where you're like composing a tweet and then halfway through you're like, literally no one cares.
Oh yeah. That's a debate. I go, oh man, this is gonna be real funny. And you're like, I have 1900 followers and half of them are spam bots. Like no one really gives a crap what I think at all.
Like I said, they're replying to Cross tonight, to Karen Cross, just with like an anime gif of Woody Harrelson shaving his head. Like,
oh yeah. You're all with that hair thing, man. It's crazy.
I'm really big on the hair thing. with him in particular. That match was so much better than it had any right to be on Sunday.
Yeah, I guess.
It was fun.
I'll leave it at that.
Snoop on commentary.
Snoop on commentary is the best part. Unfortunately for me, you know, I was kind of burnt out of that storyline. He who should not be named was the referee, so I was already taken out of it. So, but I do think that match itself was kind of over-delivered.
Yeah. What was your favorite match of the weekend?
Oh, well, I am just a sucker for the ladder match. I thought that was pretty cool. But obviously having the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes story end in such a way that even I cried or even I teared up. And it was not so much for Cody winning. It was when he was on his knees and kissed his wife. And I was like, oh my God, it's a movie. And he brought his mom in there like, oh mom, that's crazy. You know,
Flobo, that match with Cody and Roman, that was a love letter to professional wrestling.
That's what I read the tweet. That's what it said. I'm not sure what a love letter is like. It would be more complaints. Where's Stone Cold enter? Heart emoji.
So I wrote that because I thought, I was like, what is the most platitude generic thing I could say about this
match? Oh, it was a gimmick. Oh, thank the Lord. I felt bad. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Like, I don't talk like that. It's all about professional wrestling.
I don't want to drag you. I don't really know you like that. But I was like, what the heck is Glenn on?
I think I couldn't think of anything good to add to the discourse. So I was like, yeah. I'm just going to write like the...
Like, my platitude was wrestling was love. Wrestling was love. That was my platitude. Well,
that's nice. I like that. Yeah. Like the sentiment. But you hear that all the time, like, and I'm guilty of this. This wasn't wrestling. This was cinema.
Mm-hmm.
You know, professional wrestling is an art form.
True.
Like you hear, I mean, these are like the most overused, like, I think I'm saying something, but I'm really saying nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's kind of like a barista phenomenon, right? There's people that have a craft that people think are silly, so they try to overcompensate for it to be serious. And so you'll get people be like, well, you know, this is the oeuvre of the dialectic. You're like, oh, okay, all right. It's wrestling. Man.
So that tweet was my latte art that I was putting out there. Yeah.
I loved it.
No, it was fun. I mean, look, I don't know. I expected that match to be crazier. With Cody and Roman and Bloodline Rules. Bloodline Rules actually means that it was a pretty standard match for most of it. And then we got all the cameos. And then I was like, ooh, this is like Rise of Skywalker. He's channeling all the power of all the baby faces who came before him. And I was like, that's cool. But it's like Cody was winning at Mania. They could not have telegraphed that harder than they did. It was very expected. I'm not saying it wasn't well done. I'm not saying it wasn't a good match. I'm not even saying I'm not happy with the result. It's just last year that was shocking what happened at last year's Mania.
I disagree. I was all more about Roman Reigns winning that one.
Okay.
And the reason being, because I'm not even a Roman Reigns like guy. I'm like neutral to positive on him. It was Cody was there for a year. You have to establish Roman to new stakeholders. Cody needs his own WWE-centric story, and they had a chance to build it for a year. So I wasn't surprised with that. But what I liked about this one, it reminded me of the Avengers Endgame. It's like, you know the Avengers are going to win. It's a three-hour movie, but you're kind of like, well, how? How are they going to win? I think that was the ride in this case, not like if he's going to win or not.
I was not really that surprised by how Cody won.
Really? The cameos, the triple crossroads, and I couldn't do it, but I did? I thought that was kind of a cool technique, a cool mechanic.
I'm not saying it was a bad match. I'm not saying I'm unhappy with the outcome. I'm just saying like, so honestly, I expected more insanity. And I'll tell you the other thing I expected. Mm-hmm. I thought Saturday they were going to kick the S out of him more to make it even more dramatic when he won Sunday. So I think that what they did was a 8 out of 10 version of exactly what I was expecting.
Yeah. I think the Bloodline Rules actually works at a disadvantage for Roman. Like, he could just... Yeah. It was like, I was expecting weapons, maybe like a Punjabi prison situation, or having, like, elders in the crowd, but it felt pretty much like a no-holds-barred slash street fight deal.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was very good. I just... it seemed almost a little... It was a very classy, kind of restrained version of what I was expecting. Anyhow, enough about that. Let's talk about NXT tonight, because we're back in Florida at the Capitol Wrestling Center, and just really just the Performance Center, just with a better name.
Whoa. Kayfabe.
How are you feeling about Tony D'Angelo losing on Saturday at Stand and Deliver?
You know, it's funny. Even though it's a Stand and Deliver, this match kind of reminded me of a Royal Rumble match when they will cook someone and hot shot them to be a number one contender, and you kind of know they're not going to win. Like when Balor took on Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble, you're like, ain't no way. So I like the match. I like the fact they gave him the new entrance music. But at the end of the day.
Oh, Lobo froze for me. Lobo's deep in thought. We don't know what happens at the end of the day, people. We have to find out. Lobo will be back in a second. We'll make it all work. It's the Wrestling Inc. podcast. So I don't know. Everyone knows my thoughts. Everybody knows that I thought Tony D'Angelo was going to win and become the new NXT champion. That did not happen. I'm very sad that did not happen. I'm still a little in shock that did not happen. But alas, it didn't. So tonight, Tony D'Angelo wasn't there. The family was there. But Tony D taking some time to reflect and to think about what went wrong. Right? J.R. Smith with the $2 super chat. Saying Glenn is saying, where is the wow? No, I thought Cody's entrance, and let me just be clear, I thought Cody's entrance was great. I thought having The Rock and all the cameos was a lot of fun. It was a very good match. It just, I think the element of surprise, I think people that have been watching me long enough have been doing this podcast now with various co-hosts for 8 years, people coming up very soon, 8 long years. And I think that surprise is often the thing that I pop for the most. By the way, it's not just surprise in wrestling. I think in all forms of media, like Fulbo was saying in the Avengers, you knew the Avengers were going to win, but it wasn't about the destination. It was about the journey. It was about how they won. You wouldn't have predicted they were going to go back in time and do this elaborate plot to steal the Infinity Stones, then return the Infinity Stones, then eventually have Iron Man wield his own Infinity Gauntlet and take on Thanos. That was very unpredictable. It was very good. And I just like that. I like when we don't know what's going to happen. We know where we're going, but we don't know how we're going to get there. It's the opposite of really a good road trip. On a good road trip, you know how you're getting there and you know where you're going. Flibbo, thank you for saving me because I was about to take this in some very weird direction.
Shout out to Windows 10 and the blue screen of death. I'm back, baby.
There you go. So you thought Tony D'Angelo didn't have a chance. I convinced myself. Now was Tony time.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think it got as close as it possibly could have. You know what I mean? Like, it was fine. I felt like it was a good match. But unfortunately, Tony D'Angelo is going to be stuck with a character that will either have to mature out of or it has to be something completely different. There's no way you can have that be the face of your brand.
Why not?
Well, because Tony D'Angelo himself is a character that has very, very proud of his heritage and has something that he wants to accomplish with a championship. But the people that he surrounded himself are so one note, it runs the risk of looking like a stereotype. I'm looking at Rizzo, I'm looking at Crucifino.
Crucifino's an attorney. He went to law school.
I mean the accents. I'm thinking literally the mannerisms. Yeah, let's go handle it. Bada boom. You're like, oh come on.
I did look up Adriana Rizzo. And her natural speaking voice, because I had to know.
She has to be Midwestern. It has to be a Midwestern person trying
to. It's not as far off as you think.
What is it?
Oh, I mean, I can't do an impression for her. I'm just saying.
No, like, but where's she from?
If she was a collegiate athlete, just look her up. Like, her shoot name's out there, readily available. And just you can see she did an interview about college sports. Right. And it's like, it's different, but it's not as far off as you think. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. But Luca Crucifino, look, he's an attorney, like shoot attorney, like real life attorney, right?
Yeah.
I think. Did I just make that up or do we know that for certain?
I thought he went, but I know definitely Dawson Alexander went, but I'm not sure.
Okay. If he did for maybe I just think because his character is an attorney after a while, it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Like how many attorney characters are there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a weird pick for a character, right?
It worked for Otunga.
Yeah, that's true. So we open tonight with Roxanne Perez cutting a promo. And this was very interesting because she was interrupted by Lyra Valkyria. She was then interrupted by Tatum Paxley and Natalya. And if you thought Lyra's getting her rematch anytime soon, Paxley turned on Lyra tonight.
Yeah, I get the whole point that a baby face is supposed to be sympathetic, but Lyra looks so sad. She's like, oh, I can still go. And then Tatum backs, he's like, you ain't got the heat no more, fool. And it was just like, it just broke my heart, man. It really did. I wasn't the biggest fan of Lyra's reign, but she did got the championship from Becky. That's a feather in her cap. And it's sad to see it happen like that. It reminds me, for gamers, like the beginning scene of GTA 5, when Trevor starts beating up that guy from the other GTA game. You're like, wait, he was the protagonist in the last one. Now he's getting stomped out by the new guy. You can't do that. But I do like the fact that Roxanne's gone full Cora Jade. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, Roxanne is working as a heel. I think Lyra versus Tatum is going to be great. I still don't think they ever gave that quite enough character development. I think they're really looking to the audience to fill in a lot of blanks.
Absolutely.
With that, which is fine. If you're looking to fill in blanks, rent the movie Single White Female. Rent the movie Fear with Mark Wahlberg. Rent Hand That Rocks the Cradle, and rent Orphan while you're at it, because Orphan is just a badass horror movie. Have you seen
Orphan? Where am I going to rent all these movies at once? No, I haven't.
You can get them on streaming. I'm not going to ruin the twist for you. Orphan has the most bat-ass crazy twist you've ever seen.
You're the only person wrestling without a potty mouth this weekend. Jeez. Yeah.
We're keeping a TV PG here.
Yeah, well, WWE wasn't. I mean, I'm not even a prude, but I'm like, oh, all right, Rocky, calm down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a match.
But okay, so Roxanne Perez, yeah, she inherited Cora Jade's heel turn. good promo tonight, interrupted by Natalya, who wants a shot at that championship. And then Ava came out and made it official.
I like the fact that someone actually comes out and makes it official. That's kind of a small gripe I have when someone just challenges a match and then they go to a break and it goes, it's been made official. And I'm like, well, by who? But
Ava.
Yeah, it's fine. She came out. I like it. I think Ava's settling into her role. She definitely looked out of place last night on Raw. To say that, because it looked like, well, NXT doesn't participate in the draft. What are you doing there? I like the fact that he was able to come out and put the law down and say, here's a matchup tonight.
She said, though, on TV, she said in the draft, like, oh, and you never know who's going to show up in NXT.
See, this is where, I don't know, it's not a draft show, but like, I wish WWE really played up front and tell us the rules. Like, you're a free agent, for example, right? You're not drafted to NXT, but you can go to NXT. Now, is that more desirable because you have access to three brands, or is it less desirable because you make less money? That's never been established. I don't understand what that deal is.
I feel you. So then the longest running storyline in NXT was the Chase U Classroom, where Andre Chase presented Kalani Jordan and Fallon Henley with certificates for their help in the tag match on Saturday. But JC Jane and Jasmine Nix crashed the party, and JC Jane was there to shatter poor Thea Hale's world by revealing that Andre Chase bet on the match where he threw in the towel to stop the match when Thea was competing.
Wow. Well, I guess that answers that.
That's kind of a deep pull. I'd forgotten about that match.
I did not because it wasn't, I mean, not to say I'm better than anybody. Yeah, I did it because I'm a good friend of wrestling. No, I didn't mean like that. But what I meant to say was because Thea was so distrusting of Andre, that's why she started hanging out with JC. But then It turns out that it wasn't. So like, I get all of that. But to me, I thought that storyline was done and dusted. Like, weird.
No, it's
still going. So
no, we talked about this last week when they made that a 6-woman tag to get more women on the card. Like, you gotta have Thea and JC one-on-one showdown. In fact, here's my prediction. I think that can main event one of the nights of spring break in if they really amp it up in the next few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. But that also raises the question, do you think something gets more toxic with JC and Jasmine?
I mean, they're not bringing Mandy back.
Mandy.
I don't think they're bringing her back.
No, but they should, though.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But I'm here for it. It was weird to have this so early in the night, though. And it was like, here's your one of your main storylines of NXT for the last 6 months, and we're just getting this out of the way.
It did. The pacing was weird, but I was fine with what it came down. Because you got to have so many new players in there, like Kalani Jordan, right? And Fallon Henley. And might as well get them on the card now early.
Well, Kiana James and Izzy Dame took on Kalani Jordan and Fallon Henley next, with Kiana and Fallon getting the win.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense to me. Why not? Did you like this match here, Glenn? Were you a fan of the rematch? Because I did feel like it was stand and deliver postscript or epilogue this week.
Kiana and Izzy getting the win, not Fallon. Wrestler. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, this very much felt like run it back. I mean, the main event felt like they were running it back with Fraxium.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to jump ahead here, but maybe Ice had a comment there about, thought Duke was a gambling addict, which that would be a pull. Now that
would have made sense. Maybe that's how him and Andre Chase met, was that Chase was going to Duke's poker room.
That very small broom closet that used to be William Regal's office.
That's okay. So when you think about abandoned NXT gimmicks, everything to do with Stevie Turner, I missed. That could have been so good.
MSK and the Shaman.
Oh, yeah. Which, that was not weird at all. Duke Hudson's poker room. That's one of the weirdest NXT. And that's saying something, because NXT can usually make weird work. Mm-hmm. But that was a very strange gimmick.
Absolutely. Or the fact that Ava became general manager after being in the cult the week before.
Well, no, because sometimes cults install people in positions of power, Flobo. That's how they pull the strings.
And Shawn Michaels was like, okay, makes sense to me. Approved.
Because last week when Joe Gacy just went there, I want a match. Okay, done.
Yeah. There's no pushback anymore. That should change.
Yeah, because the cults were Joe Gacy secretly pulling the strings.
Oh, that'd be a cool storyline.
Yeah, Joe Gacy and Ava. Schism is still intact. The secret society running NXT. Let's talk about Javon Evans versus Scripps. Javon Evans, the breakout star of NXT Level Up lately. What did you think of Javon's win over Scripps tonight?
He's bouncy. Love it. I think I was telling this to a fellow broadcast colleague, Jack Farmer, in our text chat today. I was like, well, text chat or text? I don't know why I say text chat. Text chat on my cellular phone mobile. That we, once he came out, if I'm Wesley, I got to think of what I'm going to do when I come back. The fact that Javon was with Scripps is something also I wouldn't have done because the styles are so similar. I think it's an instant comparison. And it hurt Scripps in the long run. But as far as the first debut, hit all the moves, felt like time stood still when they were in the air. I mean, this could very be the most toyetic person on the roster if they have time to cook.
Yeah. Look, out the mud isn't faring that well. Scripps is getting TV time, but that win-loss record isn't doing him any favors.
He's got to go the Mr. Stone route and just stay behind the ring ropes.
Do you think the mask and the voice changer ultimately diminish his stock?
It didn't help. I think that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And I'm glad that was dropped. Talk about drop gimmicks. I thought that was dropped. But I think for me, I never believed, not saying he's not where he's from in real life, I've never believed that Scripps, the character that scripted into the air and wore a mask, was saying, oh, actually, that's my street name from the hood, and my friends are these guys. And you're like, I would much rather you get yourself a third name and just start over than saying that that's the same name from over there. I'm like, well, what happened? You have a mask and then you decide to do poetry on the side? Like, what kind of thugs do that? You know?
I got it. What if Vigilante Scripps
the Greg Saunders version?
Teamed up with Vigilante Apollo Crews, and Apollo was like, you got to go undercover with this OTM group because they are up to no good, and I need you to infiltrate because we need to bring them down.
First of all, as a big Apollo mark, I have the only person that bought his shirt. I don't like Apollo being a narc.
Apollo was like a vigilante. He was walking, I was on rooftops, writing in his dream journal, eating scrambled eggs.
Yeah, in the mean streets of Orlando. I mean, it makes sense, but it'll break my heart. TV time is TV time, yes. But Scripps looked outclassed by someone that was younger, more athletic, and in better shape. And by shape, I mean conditioning. I'm not here to body shame. I mean wind when it came to the matchup today.
I mean, Javon needed to face someone tonight. Scripps made sense to someone in NXT. That's why I went in there. But I think Javon... So with Javon... And again, this is why it's development.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards. Mental is just like sometimes if someone is so good in the ring, mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, meh, you could maybe skip promo class today. And I'm not saying his promos are bad, but I'm saying like with Ricochet, if they would adjust, and with Ricochet, it was different too, because Ricochet came in from a very hot, white hot indie career, right? But it's like, man, if they would have just seasoned Ricochet with the promos a bit more, he would be doing twice as good as he has on the main roster.
I'm with you. I think Ricochet is a soft-spoken dude from a different time. And I think that Jervon Evans is a perfect example that wrestling is not for us anymore. Because if I was of the age, if I was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and there's this guy who hangs out, chills out, looks like he's a guy who's your best cousin's friend, and then wrestles, he doesn't really have to talk as much. And then the classic Ricochet era before, I'm kicking your ass.
And both Ricochet and Jervon, and the reason why I compare them is one, they're both exceptionally athletic in the ring, and they're both very likable with a natural cadence. But it was just like, man, they gave, and maybe it was the material, but Ricochet's promos fell flat. And I want to see more of who Jervon the character is. Right now, I feel like he's super genuine, which is great for an athlete, and it's endearing, but I want to see who Jervon the character is going to become.
Yeah, I guess you're talking about inferring, right? I grew up with guys like Jervon, these kind of guys who's kind of always like chilling, looks like they're not doing much and being lazy, but then you put them in front of, if they're athletes, put them in front of work, they make it happen. And of course, Victor the heavy lifting, talking about his grandma, I'm okay with it, but you're right. I do think later on, you can't just rely on that.
Yeah, but I think that guy, sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, scripts, pay attention, scripts.
You know what? Okay, voice changer aside, Scripps promo was okay. What hurt Scripps was it was like going from Reggie to that gimmick to then being like, no, this is who I really am. It was just like, you know.
That mask was the worst mask I've ever seen in wrestling. And then the taunt of him scripting Scripps in the air, like he's going to WCW after this with Bret Hart. You're like, what? Why? Stop graffitiing the sky.
Scripps 4.0 is going to be where it's at.
I'm out.
Let's talk about Ridge Holland. Man, what wasn't that elaborate on the pre-show? Ridge is on commentary now, and then all a ruse so he could hit Joe Gacy with a chair.
I don't get it. Am I supposed to feel sorry for Ridge? Like, oh man, bad luck affects this guy. Or is it supposed to be like, get out of here, Ridge? Because either way, I feel like neither.
I mean, they can't bum ass Corbin him and be like, oh, such bad, his car got towed. You know, I mean, they can't. I mean, I think that's making too much light of it, but I didn't like the stunt that was back face to face. Joe Gacy was funny, but LWO there and then slammed the door on Cruz del Toro and injured Cruz del Toro on his way out. We'll see. I'm willing to give Ridge another chance, but it's not his fault, but this material in the storyline ever since he came and talked about his injuring other people is just like, I don't know that that's the best thing to blur the lines on, you know?
Right. And I guess it's a story that I fail to see what the solution is. Is he going to have a match and not injure someone and go, I did it. Like what, how do you get out of it? That's, it reminds me of the whole Bobby Lashley Lana thing. Hey, I found a new boyfriend. Okay. The end. Sorry, Rusev. Why are we fighting?
Could you imagine? This is like a great indie gimmick waiting to happen. They can't do this with Ridge, just to be too insensitive, but his gimmick is I'm the safest wrestler ever. And he just like picks people and then gently puts them down in slow motion onto the mat. And then he's like, are you okay? Did I hurt you? Are you fine? Just catch your breath.
Orange Cassidy plays straight.
Yeah. Just catch your breath and then we'll continue the match. It'll be okay. And he just does everything super safe. And he could even be like, okay, I'm going to look like I'm going to punch you now, but I'm going to miss you. So turn your head right when I do it. Like that is a great indie gimmick.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That'd very safe, very evil.
Very safe.
Safe housing.
The safest wrestler. But Roxanne Perez took on Natalya for the NXT Women's Championship. And this was exactly what you would expect. If I just told you this match was going to happen, you would say, oh, I bet it was a really good match. And then Roxanne won. And it was like, yep. But Lola Vice caused a distraction.
Well, maybe Natalya could have won the champion. Yeah, you're right. I don't know who I'm thinking. Like, she gets Nola number one contenderships. I get it. I understand every promotion needs a level one boss. I just kind of wish it was Natalya all the time.
But, love Natalya, too.
Yeah, we love her. But I think win-loss records, you're allowed to have more losses than wins. You don't want to have a promotion when everyone's on 50-50 booking. But if you come out and I go, oh, they're not going to win, and you're not a jobber, then, well, I guess it makes you a jobber. But you know what I'm saying? And you're not like a enhancement talent. That's kind of depressing, you know? But the matchup was great. Good test of Roxanne. Roxanne has a good size to do that pop rocks over to Natalya. But Lola Vice getting involved, that's cool with that too.
Yeah. Lola is fun. And I think, man, here's the crazy thing. So we've talked about this before, like NXT has had a bit of a challenge with their top women's championship because, again, think Asuka, Shayna, Mandy, Becky, and that lineage, right? Where they've had people that were punching well above their weight in terms of dominance, and it's been a rough go since Mandy dropped it of having someone that fit that top of the mountain role. Julia, I think, is going to help that. But, man, when you talk about the NXT North American Women's Champion, Chip, they've got like 12 contenders,
right?
Just off the top of my head. For
absolutely.
That.
That's why I think the North American title is can be its own character belt as well. But you're absolutely right. You raise a good point because we had after Mandy, it was Roxanne, and then it was like Indy Hartwell for
a bit. Yeah, they just hot potatoed it.
It was hot potato. There's not really anyone that's dominant Becky, on that decisions. Tiffany Stratton did good for what her role was, but it felt like, at least at the time, and again, I say this with a bit of ignorance because that's changed. It did feel like she was a new Mandy in the Buff Barbie era of Tiffany Stratton before she was called up. But yeah, this could be a long-term run to reestablish that division. I'm not sure if that's too much too soon for Julia, but when she wins it, then yes, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. And Roxanne could get called up. Look, I think it was brilliant what they did on Raw last night, having Dragon off and Roxanne win matches as NXT champions on Raw last night.
I get it. I like it. But I wonder what was the end game. Is it because of the previewing of what NXT can do? Because again, like I watch NXT more than I say the average wrestling fan. We get 1/4 of the views. But does that translate to Tuesday? Do I go, oh my gosh, Ilya Dragunov beats Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm checking him out tomorrow. Well, okay, I'm checking him out. He didn't wrestle the next day.
Yeah. Triple H era, man.
I like it. I mean, I like it. I'm all about it. I always say the best pay-per-views are Worlds Collide or Cyber Sundays. I like it. I just questions.
Well, see, I think you've had there are a lot of people in NXT that are overdue to graduate.
Is it graduation though? Is it linear?
On how they're booked.
Yeah.
Depends on how they're booked. I mean, there's been the last call-ups haven't been the best used, you know, or utilized. So I don't know.
To the moon.
To the moon, indeed. Man, so hot in NXT. Okay.
Loomis agrees. I'm just kidding.
So Natalya attacked Lola Vice backstage. No quarter catch crew. Three quarters of the no quarter catch crew tonight took on the family, and the family got the win. Stax and Luca Crucifino.
I like it. The family coming off that hard loss, saying deliver. No quarter catch crew, still using the catch rule, which I hate, but we're still going to do it. I think they were a good test. But Luca Crucifino and Chad Sax Lorenzo were pretty much the fall guys. Get them strong again for Tony D'Angelo's return.
Yeah. It was a good match. I think that, you know, they need to fill some time less tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it was good. Drew Gulak not on TV. Fallout from Ronda Rousey, that interview she gave last week. I don't want to get anything wrong about this. Wrestling Inc. has all the details.
It sure does. WrestlingInc.com. Cling. Oh.
So Obafemi, North American champion, came out to the ring and came face to face with the new number one contender. And if you think, God, who is the most credible contender they could put forth that would make you wonder if Obafemi was going to retain in this next match?
Javi Bernal.
Ooh, with the big body cologne?
Yeah, big body cologne. Right. Big body Javi.
if you thought, you know, hey, who's the most credible contender that it's a coin toss who wins? That would be Ivar from the Viking Raiders.
Yeah. all the flowers in the world. When Eric went down, I thought Ivar would have been stuck in catering. But not only has he thrived, he's become an attraction. There are people who bring signs to see Ivar. I'm not sure if I wanted to see Ivar on his off day. It was kind of weird seeing a Viking wear jeans today. But I like the fact that it's okay right now having the big meaty man slapping meat in that division. I mean, Ova is a house. He's a ruler. We understand that clash of styles work, but if he's going to beat up on cruiserweights all the time, it's not going to be fun. So, yeah, give me that challenge match. Give me the Haas matches. That'd be kind of fun to see.
Yeah. So, I mean, this will be good. I think it was fine tonight. It just wasn't, I don't know. But like, we know who's winning this. Well, clearly Ivar. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. Dom Turner, Dominic Mysterio was North American champion for a bit.
That makes all the sense in the world, though.
I mean, Ivar not winning a champion does not make sense. Are you an Ivar hater? Are you a hate bar? Sir? Why? Is that my boy?
Are you an Ivar or a Uvar? No, I think, you know, it's fine. You know what's funny? The Viking Raiders, here's my thing about the Viking Raiders. If I'm writing a 1980s comedy, or I've got a sitcom, and I've got an episode where I want to make fun of wrestling, like, oh, wrestling's hokey and stupid and childish, I have the Viking Raiders or the characters that I would... I could not write characters more perfect than that to show like wrestling silly and over the top.
Sure.
That's my issue with the Viking Raiders.
I mean, the Viking experience though is different. No, but what I'm saying is, you got this character. He's Ivar. What do you want to have him as? He's like 340 pounds. Like he can't be Luca Crucifino. You already got big Bronson Reed doing the suit.
He got some hair.
But what I'm saying is, like, that's what he looks like. Might as well be that.
Okay. I'm not saying it's bad. We're just talking.
I'm not, sorry. It's a glad please. I'm not getting at you. I'm not like saying, how dare you?
How dare I?
No, I just kind of, I mean, look, I feel like he was that. There are certain characters and gimmicks, you know, that a person does well and they can't really shift from. Like, you can't make, say, Adam Cole a prima donna because he's Adam Cole, baby. That's what he does, you know?
Yes. He is Adam Cole, baby. We should all respect that.
You're going to kick me off the show so hard next week. You're like, we'll never. I'll never be able to come back to NXT.
No. I would miss you.
He's the same.
This is fun. So okay, let's talk about what happened next. Oh, I like this a lot. Jada Parker with OTM versus Brinley Reese with Malik Blade and Idris Nofe. I like Brinley Reese, but she's. Every time they give her, oh, what's that face? What don't you like about Brinley?
I was a fan of this match as well, but continue.
Brinley Reese is a fun character that, like, once a month they're like, oh yeah, Brinley's a character, and then nothing. Right. Then just like they're about to give her a storyline or character development, and then they're just like, hey, we need you to go out there and lose a match.
That sounds about right. So here's what I liked. The match of what it means for the division, because Brinley is solid, but yes. Her character is still very much similar to Thea Hale's, right? The energetic, the live wire, the sparky plugs, deep cut. But I do think this win-loss record with the positivity can help her out to distinguish her. Like, hey, even when I lose, I'm different. Jada Parker, as ironic as it sounds, because she was the last person to join the group, is the most intimidating person in OTM. Which blows my mind because she was the last person at it. She walked in a couple months ago, and you're like, no, Jada Parker looks like somebody can snap necks for respect. So it was cool to see that she got to be featured. Talking about the North American title division, yeah. I think she's going to be the first winner of the North American title. That is my pick, my pick for the future. I think she can really run with it as a character that goes, oh, wait, OTM's coming because Jada Parker is coming.
What are you saying? They dump scripts and then they're going to be more credible?
No, I think they would. If they were to dump scripts, it would be. Really, but I don't think they will do that because Scripps, as a talent, has nowhere to go, right? Much like Brooks Jensen, if he leaves OTM, there really isn't a division he can slot in. There really isn't a character thing that slots in. His whole gimmick is that he's from the streets and he has street associates. And that's from the only thing he can do.
Is the streets.
Scripts. Just saying, man. I can't imagine Scripts being like, I don't know, being Reggie again. It's just, it's over. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. It's also weird. Don't you ever just think about what we cover and just think like, this is the strangest industry to report on?
If you want my honest opinion, I do every WrestleMania season. And the reason being is that I love it. I love character work. I love talking about it. But then it's like, it's funny to see how people like treat it as like it's life. People treat it as a sport. People treat it as like they're the smartest person in the room. Like, oh, they should really write this and write that. And so I'm always thrown back about how many creators can really interpret the same show. But yeah. I dig it. I'm a grown-ass man talking about wrestling, but I never, there was a possible career when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, Jada looks like $1 million tonight.
Yes, sir.
She's great.
She looks the part. That's all that matters. She looks like somebody from that neighborhood that fits that character. And that's all I want. Like, you don't have to be the best at it. I want to feel what you say is true. And he's no longer on the roster here on WWE, but I thought the best one at that was Zach Gibson. When he said something, I believe everything he said.
So Jada getting the win was great. And then, you know, hey, if you liked it Saturday, the Wolf Dogs took on Fraxium tonight for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And, you know, if Fraxium had lost, they never would have tag teamed again.
Yeah.
Could they have telegraphed this anymore?
I thought they were going to lose.
Really?
I did. I like Nathan Frazier enough. I really like Axiom. I think I said it on any show that would have me on, that I think he is the future of Lucha, that Dragon Lee is supposed to be, that Santos is struggling to be. I think as someone from Spain can be a different kind of version of Lucha for a new generation of fans, and his mask is cool. I think the tag team division was holding them back. I do think that he has a kind of like cool sensibility. So I would love to see them go the separate ways. So I was actually hoping for them to lose. But at the same time, hey, why not? I was pleasantly surprised because this puts a whole new wrinkle in the division.
Yeah. No, it's look, it's clear that the Wolf Dogs have bigger and better things to do on the main roster. I mean, Braun got called up a while ago. I think they extended their run just based on how huge the fan response was to them. And that makes sense. But I have a feeling even with that accident tonight of them running into each other, I mean, yeah, I think this is now going to be the best first main roster feud for Braun, is just to have them break up.
Would that tick you off, though, if you were Nathan Frazier and someone's like, oh, yeah, that big show with everyone in the whole world watching, you're not winning tonight. But on Tuesday, boy, I guarantee.
I mean, they did. Actually, you know what's funny? I would have said going in where, and I did say this, I tweeted this, I was like, Fraxium's good, but they're not on the level of the Wolf Dogs. Like, they're just not, you know, they're a workhorse tag team, right? Perpetual underdogs. NXT's had a ton of them. NXT's, like, been just flush with tag teams that could get it done but weren't necessarily championship material. That, my opinion of them changed based on Saturday's match. And I said, you know what? They do have it. They can pull this off. I think they wanted Braun and Corbin to get that last moment with NXT in Stand and Deliver. I think it was the right call. But no, I think they did this tonight, and, you know, everyone's happy going forward.
Ah, too sweet.
Yeah. And hey, they're going to get that spring break-in opportunity to defend their tag team titles, maybe against the family
or AOP, right?
Or AOP, yes. So this match, if you love the Final Testament, and who doesn't, Authors of Pain showed up to Rec Shop. Karrion Kross was there. Karrion Kross tweeted, get ready for the mayhem. He's bringing it back to NXT, and I hope he shaves his head.
What's, you will not let the hair thing die.
He looked so much better with a shaved head and a goatee.
If you say so.
He looked more vicious, like Walter White. But
if you say, if you say so.
I mean, Flobo, don't you look at yourself in the mirror every morning and you're like, damn, I look vicious.
Do I, yeah, I say like Buff Bagwell, I'm simply vicious. Fist up. No, I don't say that.
Do you think if you had hair, you'd look as cool? Because you're a really cool looking guy.
Well, I lost my hair super young. I was in my 20s. Okay. When I went bald, so I don't have much of a choice. But I guess I never thought about who's tough with or without hair. tough people are just tough people. Like Haku had an afro.
Hmm. If Karrion Kross has an afro, I will change my opinion.
Although that'll answer a lot of questions. Like, why are you feeding up to Bobby so much? I don't know. So, brother, I just. I have no idea. The match was cool. I mean, the attack was cool. AOP looks like they want to get some of their heat back. I love it.
Karrion Kross's new character doesn't understand what cultural appropriation is.
Exactly. It's where he all comes at once.
Book it. No, I think AOP looked really dominant. We'll see what happens, you know.
They have to. I mean, the Final Testament, unfortunately, I'm not even sure if it's like a buzzsaw thing with the Street Profits or not. Then I haven't looked dominant on SmackDown. So I'm not sure NXT is the answer, but it gives you the footage to play on Friday Night SmackDown saying, hey, look what this team did 2 days ago to our developmental roster. Fear these guys, you know.
It's crazy to think about that. Yeah, we've split the tag team titles and now AOP's going down to NXT.
I kind of want to know whether they'll do a promo about who they are now in this phase and why they hooked up with why they associated themselves with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you knew everything.
I mean, in kayfabe, I think it's like the movie Near Dark, and they're just like a ragtag group of vampires.
Wow.
Traveling the world in an RV.
Hey, a movie I actually saw. Usually you say movies, I'm like, I haven't seen that. But yeah, I've seen Near Dark.
Near Dark is a great movie.
So it is.
Karrion Kross the Bill Paxton.
Oh, wow. Well, it was head shaved? I don't know.
No, yeah, he had hair.
Mm-hmm. That looks cool.
You know? So, I don't know. But yeah, I think we'll see if this works better in NXT. But let's talk about this end segment tonight. Trick Williams came out to address the crowd after beating Carmelo Hayes at Stand and Deliver. Called out Dragunov, said he wants his chance at the title. Spring break and it's going to happen. They're not waiting until Battleground. This is happening like concurrent with the WWE draft or right before it.
Mm-hmm.
And they set this up. And Dragunov said, if you lose, you leave NXT, which, man, usually a pretty obvious lampshade to hang on what's going to happen. But then Carmelo comes out and attacks Trick to where it's like, man, I mean, I think Trick costs Melo or Melo costs Trick at Spring Break-In. They both go to the main roster and keep feuding there based on the run they've been on.
Here's a question for you. And I like the idea. So let's say they do that. Cross title, yeah. Trick loses, and they both get drafted. Do you have them, say, both on one show and have that be like a CRD story? Or have them on separate brands and make this a cross-brand story at this time? Is it worth that level?
Probably same brand.
Okay. So like both the guys on Raw or SmackDown?
Yeah. And then do they reconcile at the end?
They always do. It's wrestling, right?
Yeah, that's true. But honestly, I think Trick getting called up with Melo and continuing that feud is the best thing they can do for Melo's full-time call up.
I do think Melo is on that ceiling and he has to move. And yeah. I love Trick Williams a lot, and I'm not trying to disparage the man, but if I had a chance to hold him in NXT for six more months, I would, or a year, I would. I think I understand he's hot right now and you don't want to like hold him too long. I thought NXT would be on the road by now, but imagine if they were on the road and Trick Williams was your Cody Rhodes or your LA Knight and have people nationwide saying, whoop that Trick. I think you need that. Ilya Dragunov is a fantastic wrestler and I love them in UK, but his NXT run, let me know in the chat if you disagree, seemed kind of flat. It was guy who wrestled guy and have suit and tie guy. And it was like, okay, but I'm not sure who you are. If anything, that guy needs to go and have a team of creative to make sure he's a different iteration on the main roster. But I like your idea though.
Here's a question.
Question.
This isn't me being, you know,
please do.
Negative Nancy.
I love Negative Nancy.
Yes. And I know there was some recurring controversy about this in professional sports. Do you think once he's on the roster full time, do you think that chant causes problems?
It can, because you have on SmackDown four times the audience and it's kind of like he's advocating violence or what have you. or I'm assuming that's the problem, or even because of the fact that it mentions hustle and flow or whatever. But at the same time, the entire history of wrestling I've had inside jokes and things are within that space. Like every TV show sitcom has their thing. They have to try it. And if it doesn't work, it pulls back. Remember when Raquel Rodriguez's finisher was the Chingona bomb? Yeah, they tried it on Fox. And Fox was like, nope, we ain't call it that. And now it's the Honor Bomb. And you just make that adjustment.
I remember there were two radio DJs in the San Francisco Bay Area in the mid-90s that debuted under the name the Baracha Brothers. And then 2 days later had to issue an apology explaining they were not making fun of alcoholism.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's weird sometimes what is meant in a very lighthearted way that it takes on a life of its own. And I'm just saying that because I've seen a little bit of that. I've seen a little bit of that on Twitter, even after Stand and Deliver, people that weren't as aware. Plus, the chant really needs a comma to have it make
I think the shirts will have the comma. I think the trademark will have the comma because he can comma. Say, yeah, I am Trick. Whoop that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's their defense. Is they're saying, no. We're telling Trick Williams to whoop that.
Right.
We're not talking about whooping tricks.
That's the best Luca Crisafino voice I've ever heard.
Yes. He should have him come out and explain it.
With his sleeveless shirts. Take me seriously, my client, Trick Williams.
Yes. And then he could be like, when DX was saying suck it, they were leaving that to the imagination of what it is.
Absolutely. But again, I go back to this weekend's WrestleMania, man. Like, that censor guy was working overtime with the crowd and The Rock, and people were saying things. It was nuts.
In Happy Days, when they said sit on it, it was left to your imagination what it was.
Oh. Oh. I was thinking Too Fast, Too Furious. Didn't Tyree do that? Hey, Fonzie, sit on it, Fonzie. Yeah.
We'll see. But hey, Flobo, we made it through. This is the real end of WrestleMania weekend.
Absolutely.
The epilogue is tomorrow night when AEW Dynamite airs the CM Punk footage.
Is it CM Punk footage? I hope it is. Not to say I wanted things to be possibly stirred, but if they say we're going to show footage and it's like them at catering, I'm going to be so mad. I'll be so mad.
Yeah, I want it to be Billionaire Ted style and Nacho Man. And I want like the Bucks to be doing voices and. You know,
it's desperate. If you're taking the high ground, you're doing it wrong. If you're taking the low ground, you better bring the heat.
Taking the low ground, you waited long enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You know, but it's wrestling. Is there a low ground?
Oh, yeah. Katie Vick, man.
There you go. Okay. Flobo's at Flobo Voice. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Marie, glad the doctor's appointment today went better than it could have. We were all pulling for you. Thank you, everyone, for ending your WrestleMania weekend with us here tonight. I'm off this Friday, but I'll be back Tuesday.
Don't leave, man. I had to run the show myself last Friday. It was
Issa
really
be here. You could console her.
Yeah, she'll hate me for saying, Roman lost. Yeah, knocked out. Whoa.
But I look forward to next Tuesday. We'll figure it all out. Catch you back next year on next time here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.